Now, most people you'd spend time with tend to want a God that is sovereign when things are going well. But what about when they're not? When all kinds of injustices seem to occur, is God really still calling the shots? Well, God is always sovereign and always working out his plan, even when things are unjust or unrighteous, and no one who fears him in his future judgment is going to be happy. When one fears God, we see that back in verse 14 of chapter 3 here in Ecclesiastes, one begins to realize that God has a sovereign purpose and plan for everything, including things that are negative or unjust and unrighteous. When one lives life under the sun without a focus above the sun, none of the negative stuff seems to make any sense. So we'll see some repetition of these personal verbs. I have seen, and I said to myself, and Solomon saw things, and he said things, and thank God he also wrote things. He personally came to understand these conclusions about the sovereignty of God. So Solomon saw a lack of justice and a lack of righteousness. We see that in verse 16 of chapter 3. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. In the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. Judgments from leadership are a serious matter, and God takes judgment seriously, so should his people. So Solomon observed under the sun that in places where there should have been justice, there is wickedness, and in places where there should have been righteousness, there is wickedness. Amos 5:15 says this, "Hate evil, love good, establish justice in the gate." Wasn't always happening in Solomon's day. So a question comes to mind. If Solomon is king of Israel and he saw these things happening, why didn't he do something about it? This is the king. Why didn't he step in? Why didn't he solve the problem? Well, this is one reason why Solomon didn't write Ecclesiastes. You see, he was focused on life under the sun. Solomon was seeing things clearly, but he wasn't handling things spiritually. Solomon observed this is not only just in Israel, but in the other nations over which he had no say. Solomon could somewhat control what happened in Israel, but he couldn't control everything that happened in the world. And so as a result, he's looking at this injustice and he's making these observations. And he observed in this every place he looked. There's no way he could stop this in every place. It's a principle that happens everywhere. It happens in courts, in government, in business, in homes, and in life. And there are times when wickedness overtakes justice and wickedness overtakes righteousness. And to resolve this, all of society would have to be destroyed. And God will eventually do that. See, total justice and righteousness will never reign until Jesus Christ reigns. So Solomon knew God would judge the one righteous and the one wicked. Look at verse 17. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. So even when Solomon was focused under the sun, he still knew there'd be a day of reckoning for everyone. He knew both the righteous and the wicked would be judged by God. We see the end of the verse, there actually comes a time for every matter, every deed to be judged. Nobody's getting away with anything. And so if you're wicked without Christ, every sin you've ever committed will be brought up by God against you, and you'll be judged, and the sentence would be hell. You may think you're getting away with sin. You're not. You're storing up wrath for yourself. We see that in Romans 2, verse 5, and eventually you'll be judged. If you're one righteous in Christ, you called on him, our lives are also on display before the Lord, and we too will be judged, but our judgment is not the one that loses heaven, but the one that can earn or lose rewards. You see, our service is not going unnoticed by God, and neither is our sin. God will judge every matter, every deed, and it would be a wise thing for the man or woman who lives life to have that perspective and to fear God. And then Solomon knew that God had purpose for permitting acts of injustice and acts of wickedness. Look at verse 18. He says, I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God's testing them that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. God permits sin to exist so that he can test man to show him he's a beast. In other words, God wants man to clearly see that he's totally depraved. So God allows all kinds of things to happen that give man this judgment about himself and eventually bring God's judgment on him. So when a man leaves God out of his life, in many ways he's become animalistic. When God is not at the center of life, man is capable of the most depraved acts. So this is a biblical reason as to why God permits sin to exist, to show man that he is depraved. And then Solomon knew of the fate of those who are depraved. Look at verses 19 and 20. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same thing. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. Both the beast and the human eventually die and end up in the ground and become dust. Both the beast and the human physically die. Neither the man nor the beast can stop time. Suffering and death will eventually catch them both, and one by one every animal and every human dies. This verse is here to show the temporality of man in contrast to the sovereignty of God. Psalm 49:20 says this, man in his pomp yet without understanding is like the beasts that perish. So Solomon also knew of the ignorance of those who are depraved. Look at that last verse, and actually the second last verse there, 21. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? A depraved sinner has no idea what happens to him after death. Truth is, there is a great difference between a man and a beast. The beast that dies, dies. Its life ends right there. Its breath is gone and goes into the earth. Man, on the other hand, dies and faces God. His breath ascends upward for judgment. And lastly, Solomon knew man could enjoy life. Verse 22, so I saw that there's nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for this is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? The key to happiness is to recognize the sovereignty of God and then live life in a fear of God, and live life with a sense of future judgment, and you live a happy and joyful and fulfilled life. God will judge everything, including us. So if you want happiness, meaning, fulfillment, joy, live your life above the sun. Keep your focus on God. Build a close relationship with him, and your life will be blessed abundantly.